Welcome to the choir room. There's always room for you if you're a fan of Glee. Then you're a friend of me.
And welcome back to Choir Room Radio, where we are keeping you company here on this month of the Valentine. Valentine's Day is now past, but we are still keeping the love in the air with our usual production of recordings. That was a weird way of saying we are back for another Valentine's Day special by Glee. This is time. It's season 4. Really excited. Season 4, episode 14, I believe, which is the same day as Valentine's Day in February. I wonder if that was on purpose. Titled, I Do, where a wedding is supposed to take place but doesn't. Of course, I am not alone. I am not being left at the altar today because Matt, the person that I'm supposed to introduce first, is here with me. How are you, Matt?
Chappelle, I am frozen. I'm frozen right now. Are we on the same page?
Oh, yeah. Amon, I swear, I thought we were doing season 5, episode 1, episode. Love, love, love.
Did I watch the... Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God. I was about to... Like, you were laughed about me crying, but I was about to break down in tears and be like, this week has been so crazy. I watched the wrong episode. I'm so sorry, you guys. I made y'all rechange our schedule and everything. Like, if Matt hadn't said anything, I would have just burst into tears. Y'all would have saw a grown man cry today because it's just been a hell of a week. And I would have just been like, I let these people down.
I'm frozen. Oh,
I can't breathe.
Now.
I can't breathe. That was it. That was it, Amon. You, whew.
Amon, say psych. God. Say you're kidding.
Whew. Well, it's a good thing that I am a big fan of Glee because I've seen all of these episodes so many times, so practically in my DNA. I didn't need to rewatch this episode. So, no, I'm not kidding. I watched season 4. But I'm perfectly prepared to talk about season 5. So I guess I am getting left at the altar today. But it's all right.
You have to cut out my nervous breakdown, Matt, because I am not joking.
This is fantastic. This is gold. This is podcasting gold. Not a second of this is getting edited out in any way, shape, or form.
It has to go. I am having a whole anxiety attack. This has been the worst week ever. And I just knew I destroyed y'all's podcast by watching the wrong episode. Like, I was about to cry. Nope. Take it out.
Feel like this has happened before, and not in the sense of like actually this has happened before of maybe just like me reconfirming or anything like this with Amon just to make sure we're always on the same page. But it gets to a point where like you don't want to like reconfirm everything. You don't want to be like insulting, like, oh, you know what we're talking about today? No, I've already told you 5 times, like whatever. So why would I do that? But then to hear the podcast open up, we're talking about season 4. I was like, no, he means 5. And he's like, a wedding. I'm like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I just thought it was my fault. I just couldn't have handled it. I'm sorry. Just
no, no. It's been, you guys are it's been quite. Horrible. I mean, I've seen this episode plenty of times. I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Amon, I am not worried about you. I'm just saying, if it had been me, I'd have been like, I would have been pleading, like, you guys, just between us, just charge it to life, because life has been kicking my ass.
Charge it up to the game.
Man, oh, my gosh. We would have just had to talk about the one I saw. Like, I was like, we have to reschedule, because I just know.
So let's wind it back for a second, just in case anybody's confused. Well, we just went through a big thing there in about 3 minutes and 45 seconds of recording so far. We're here today to talk about season 5, episode 1, which is titled Love, Love, Love. And I guess an understandable mix-up on Amon's end. I can't believe that happened. That is the other Valentine's Day episode for sure. But we have talked about that we were going to pass over it and do the weddings all together. And, you know, we were going to do the love, love. We said it, you know, 3 times, 4 times. It's fine. So we'll talk about love, love, love. And maybe Amon will tell us about what he thought about the wedding along the way. And we're going to have some fun today. Chappelle's had a rough week. So we're going to talk about some Glee and keep all of our spirits up.
Yeah, so wait, so the logic behind not doing 4 was because we are grouping up wedding episodes together? That's what we're doing?
Essentially. I think we were just trying to pick out 3 episodes, and we landed on these 3 when we first said it, and we were like, oh, yeah, we'll do the weddings together, you know? The Furt wedding, we'll do the Will and Emma not wedding, and then we'll do the gay wedding maybe at some point, all 3 of them. I don't know, whenever wedding season is. So this one's all about love with, you know, love, love, love in the title. Chappelle even promoted this on like two different podcasts. I think I heard him specifically say love, love, love twice. So I knew that he had watched the right episode.
That's another reason why I was so mortified, because I was like, I've been telling people we were doing love, love, love. I was about to fall onto the floor and just let this week take me away.
Let's get this into it then.
Okay. Let's get into it. But Chappelle, I know I don't have to like ask how are you, but I mean, just you okay? You ready to talk some Glee?
I am so much better than I was about 5 minutes ago. I'm in such a good mood now, but woo, yeah, ups and downs this week. I'm very happy to talk about Glee. You could use some Glee in everyone's life right around this time, so I'll take it.
All right. We will talk about the episode that Amon rewatched someday. So, I mean, we already have, but we'll do it again sometime and talk about all of that. But I don't know. Any quick summary? Amon, you want to give us your quick thoughts on the episode you did watch so you didn't watch it for nothing?
No, it's fine. Like, I don't need to talk about it. Like I said, the reason that we're here is because we're both big mega fans of Glee. I've seen Love, Love, Love so many times. And also, it's not a very substantive episode. So that'll make this very easy. But you know, I mean, as far as season four goes, I enjoy that one better than this one. So there's that.
And luckily, famously, you don't take notes anyway. You just watch as we go. So it's not like you took a bunch of notes for this episode that you're now throwing in the garbage because
I do not take notes. I speak off the dome.
That comes in handy at a time like this. All right, so let's get into this episode. We already previously talked about season two's heart episode, right? No, that's season three. Season three's heart episode. Season two was silly love songs. And now we're here today to close out this little Valentine's Day series that we're doing, talking all about love here in the month of February. Chappelle's joined us for the first two episodes. Of course, he's here again today. And today we're talking about, season five, episode one, where we are going to get a big engagement between Gay Blaine and Kurt, and follow a couple of other love stories along the way. And as we get into the season five premiere, Chappelle, I don't know if we've talked to you about an episode this late so far. We have not. Have you talked us through your experience with Glee seasons like five and six, like the later era of it?
No, I don't think we ever really just got into it because I don't have much like to share, honestly, in that area, because I was in college by the time this was five and six were airing. And I just had other things to do than watch Glee. It just wasn't on on my mind, but I also wanted to know kind of how it ended. I think that was really my driving force at this point. I didn't care too much about the cast. I didn't watch the Glee project, so I didn't appreciate a lot of the new people who were popping up. And so it was just a matter of like, let me check in every now and then and kind of, see how everybody's going. So I did watch it in real time, but I was not nearly as engaged. And it was just more like to check the box. Like, okay, I have to finish Glee. It's got to be ending soon. This is after Cory Monteith's death. Am I correct?
And so, real life after he passed, but before the actual episode of The Quarterback.
Right. And so I knew that since he had passed, that it wouldn't be on that much longer anyway. So I was just trying to kind of just keep tabs on it as it went. Mm-hmm. And so I really don't have that big of a memory of season five and six. I watched the first few seasons multiple times because they were on Netflix and you could just kind of watch them streaming and whatever, pirated website. So back when they were releasing them, every few months, you could watch the season. You could go back and watch it in preparation for the next season. These, I've probably only watched one time a piece. So very excited to go back and look at them. And I actually agree with Amon's take, too, about the wedding episode that he watched being better than this one. I don't remember this episode, and I wasn't that moved, honestly. It was fine.
Well, I'll come right off the bat then and say I had a much better experience watching this episode this time around than I did when Amon and I rewatched it for, our first rewatch, I guess you could say, the first time through. I know we were not super high on the two back-to-back. We have, this one and the very next episode are both Beatles tributes episodes. But I don't know. I just, for some reason, I like this one a little bit better. I don't know. Maybe because we've sat on some of the storylines a little bit more. I found some more of the humor in it since I was, paying a little bit more attention to the episode rather than like meticulous note taking. So I had fun with it. I think, we'll talk through it today and see what worked and what didn't. But Amon, this episode does start off, I feel like I need to, tell you all about it. This episode starts off with Rachel as she's doing some rehearsals for Funny Girl. She's working alongside this guy, Paolo, who's a former Tony winner. And she overhears them talking about how she's not right for the part. She may be a little too young, even though she looks good, she sounds good. She may not be ready for it yet, and she kicks off the episode with a cover of Yesterday. So memories on all that.
Yeah, that was always so weird to me that they had that conversation. I was like, well, can you fire her now? I mean, she already signed the contract. Like, you, she's in it. You know what I mean? It feels like a bit of like a raised stakes thing that wouldn't make much sense, because we went through this entire ordeal at the end of season four going through this exact same conversation. Is she ready for it? Is she too green? Is she good enough? Like, does Rachel Berry high school choir champion translate to big Broadway star? And we are supposed to be led to believe that yes, it does, because all she had to do was get up on that stage and sing Don't Stop Believing and something happened to her, and then he saw the star. So for them to regress and go back to that very same question that they'd already answered by the end of season four was like, okay, sure. And I also think that these first two episodes, like we've talked about before, just suffer from the fact that, yes, everybody is well aware of the fact that Cory Monteith has passed. We are interested to see how they're going to handle it in the Glee universe, which is why they were very forthcoming about how they were going to start the season off. There was so much press surrounding his death, and then there was so much press surrounding the beginning of season five, because they wanted us to know straight off the bat, there's not going to be any time jump. We are going to be starting right where we left off in season four, but we will not be covering the death until episode three. So I think a lot of people are sort of down on this episode because it does feel very much like filler. Which is why not much happens in this episode. I mean, there's this fake drama with Rachel in the part, and then most of it is just this proposal that, why is it happening? Like, they just get back together at the end of season four, with Kurt and Blaine. So yeah, I know I kind of just bumped all over the place, but yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with Rachel. It doesn't, like, I'm not really invested because I know nothing is going to happen, because we're going to be moving on to something else in two episodes.
Yeah, and we're, you know, at the time of watching this episode the first time through, you're definitely waiting to get to that episode where they're going to pay tribute to Cory Monteith and, like, you know, see how everybody is going to react. I mean, we know looking at this world right now that Finn has passed, or maybe, you know, it's maybe the timeline lines up where it happens after the events of all this kind of stuff. But either way, it's like, you know, that there's something else underneath the surface that they're not getting to yet. So it's kind of like a weird spot to be watching the episodes. But I don't know, looking at it from kind of a different perspective this time, I just found a different way to enjoy this episode this time through. So yeah, Rachel's going to, you know, give that performance of yesterday. She's walking around all around like the city, looking through Central Park on her phone, like looking at pictures, you know, recalling some memories and whatnot, which, you know, it's like a little, like, sometimes like the cheap tricks, looking at pictures in your phone can kind of get you, and she's getting all emotional.
Yeah, they really did try to pull at heartstrings, right? Because, like, I mean, the show is well aware of the fact of what's going on, but they're not going to address it quite yet. But it does sort of have that somber tone of loss. And even, you know, even the little reappearance of Sardis, where her and Finn had that date back in season two. Like, it, you know, they're obviously trying to let the audience know, we didn't forget, we know what's going on. So here's a little, you know, I feel like this was kind of like production's way of letting us know how they felt about the characters and being able to say it quite yet.
Yeah, and to cut ahead a little bit, we're going to see what Rachel's up to now here in New York. So she's, you know, she had that whole issue with the director, overhearing what the director said about, you know, if she's ready or not for the role. But Chappelle, we have the first appearance here of a new setting that we're going to have in season five. Rachel and Santana are going to be working now at the Spotlight Diner. So we get to see them getting ready for one of their first shifts. And Rachel's not too excited for this new job, but Santana's like ready. She's in it. She's, you know, she's working. She's got to get the money.
Yeah, the idea that Rachel has to come to terms with being realistic and getting her head out of the clouds is, for me, that was kind of like the theme of her whole journey in New York, because we knew Rachel as, I have big dreams and I'm going to be a star, and I have big dreams and I'm going to be a star. And it's almost as though she was a high school student, right, who did not know that, you know, you are one of many, many people who think they're going to be a big star. And it's just not going to happen just by you showing up in New York, auditioning and getting the role of your dreams. You have to grind like everybody else does. And she, you know, I think Santana tries to explain that to her. We are working actresses at this point. We can wait, you know, tables, because that's what the celebrities before us did as well. You know, we have to pay the bills while we audition. I think Rachel just, it was hard for her to come crashing down to reality of, like, I'm not just going to walk in sing Don't Stop Believing and everybody's just going to start throwing contracts at me. You have to start at the bottom. And this was the start of that. I do like this diner, though. I don't know if I would eat there often, but it would be fun to kind of visit and just hang out and see a impromptu performance, because they go full out. So I was happy to see them. Do we like what is it, Santana Berry? What is this? Santa Berry? What is this?
Pez Berry.
The name of their
Pez Berry. They're called Pez Berry for Lopez Berry. Yeah.
Do we like this? Is this something we ship?
We like this a lot better. Okay, so no, we don't. I mean, personally, I'll speak for myself as the crazy shipper of the two of us here. We don't ship them necessarily, or at least I don't. But we like it a lot better when they're friends than when, you know, we're watching the breakaway performance and Rachel's ripping up a picture of the two of them, you know, saying like we're done here. So we definitely like when the NY3 are getting along better.
Gotcha.
I mean, they gave us some time towards the end of season 4 of, you know, watching the two of them come closer together. There was that whole pregnancy scare that Santana had helped Rachel through and everything and got Brody up out of there. So, yeah, they definitely got closer as time went on. So it feels nice for them to start off this way. Unfortunately, this is also the season where things take a really steep nosedive, but...
Yeah.
I guess that's life.
Yeah. Let's cut back to McKinley and see what's happening there. We have Beatles Week is happening, which if you couldn't tell by, you know, the first song there for Rachel, Beatles Week is going on. And we are down a couple of Glee Club members. Joe and Sugar disappeared into the night. Brittany is also off now at MIT. So we have still a decent sized club, but, you know, not enough kids, but we don't have to worry about that yet. So all the kids are talking about the Beatles. Not everybody's excited to do the Beatles songs because they're like, why do any of us care about the Beatles? This is from, they're from 100 years ago. We kind of can find things to relate to about them, but not 100%. But this is all going to lead into Artie and Kitty, a scene between the two of them that they're going to get us going with another Beatles song, Drive My Car, and taking us all the way to a carnival just to have some fun, Chappelle.
Yeah. To interject, you know, they were saying, like, can't we all relate to the Beatles? And I'm not going to lie to you. As a junior in high school, no, I could not. I think it's Unique who says, I'm black, you know, I'm sorry.
And yeah, she says, I don't know the Beatles. I'm a little on the black side.
I mean, and honestly, the Beatles are an iconic group, but culturally speaking, nope, not, I'm with her. No, I cannot relate. Yeah. This is fine. You know, at my age now, I'm a little bit more worldly. But back then, no. Even some of the Beatles' most iconic songs have been covered by black artists even better. And so it's just like, so some, even one of the songs in this very episode. And so I'm kind of on the side of Kitty, Unique, just like, no, this is fine. We can do the Beatles, but
we're not going to be excited about it.
Right. Yeah, right. Like, I'm no going up a little here for the Beatles week.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
But you know, if you get to, you know, sing while you're playing, you know, playing on the bumper cars and playing some games and winning some prizes, I guess you'll sing whatever you get to sing.
I guess.
So. Yeah, I was also not too keen on the Beatles at this age. I mean, they're great and everything, but I never really...
At this age or at the current age.
And then when I got to college, my first roommate was like a huge Beatles fan. He was always playing their music. And I was just like, oh my God, if I hear this damn song one more time, I was going to kill him. But yeah, no, they're great. I certainly recognize them as one of the best musical acts of all time. I think they're still like, you know, at the top of the list in terms of like, you know, best-selling artists, you know, like they're you know, they're the Beatles, you know, so I certainly recognize them and respect them for that. It's just, you know, I think I just sort of missed the train several decades later.
Yep. Yeah, so they're at the carnival. They're Artie and Kitty are doing Drive My Car. Kitty is riding around on the front of the bumper car, risking her life to, you know, shoot a fun music video. Still don't know what that's all about. Like, I thought about it, like, it was so in depth. I'm like, so how?
This is stupid. I mean, I'm sorry to share this episode because I know that you sort of like had better experiences this time, Matt. But this is stupid. He's about to graduate. Okay, like, there's no point to having this relationship. He's leaving. It seems so forced and crammed in there, and they started it at the end of last season, and that was, you know, before they knew what was going to happen. So I always felt like this was just a weird choice. Like, why are they getting them together now? He's about to leave.
I mean, this relationship didn't make sense much at all in the first place, let alone when you factor in the fact that, yeah, he's on his way out sometime soon, and, you know, it doesn't make sense for either of their characters. It's like, again, not like we've talked about these two, you know, both of them with their own podcast and everything like that to this point. It's like, no one's saying that Kitty can't fall for a guy in a wheelchair by any means. It's just like, where did these two cross paths other than the fact that, like, Artie saw her doing the Spice Girls and was like, oh, she's kind of hot.
You look so happy to be in Glee Club. Let's date. What?
I had another logistical question about this moment.
There's a lot if you're asking about Artie related. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm just, Kitty's riding on the top of the bumper car. I'm very proud that they have bumper cars that someone with a disability like Artie's can use, because I was wondering who was doing the pedaling, you know, the brake, the drive. So if they, if Ohio has stepped it up and has provided such apparatus for someone of Artie's nature to drive, then I think that's very impressive. If not, I think there's a big old plot hole in here where Artie is driving this car without being able to hit the gas. I just have a question. That's all. I want to, kudos to Ohio.
I have the answer for that. And I'm probably the closest person that you would get to being able to find out the answer to that, but I still don't have it. I don't know anything about bumper cars that are able to be
as our theme park expert, Matt. Yeah, you haven't come across any ADA certified, AAA certified bumper cars.
I have not. And also, you know, Artie on the Gravitron as well, spinning around. Like, I mean, that one, I guess, makes a little bit more sense because you don't move on that thing. You're just truly like strapped against the wall and nothing's happening. But still, I mean, a lot of scary visuals here, you know, when you think about, is this actually okay? Is he actually fine? He's probably okay. I don't know. Just a lot of questions for sure. After all this is said and done, we're going to see Bree come up and she's going to make her first appearance here. Erin Westbrook, who also recently, just started up on Riverdale. And I actually just watched that episode right before we came on here because I had some extra time. So Bree is here and Breh. And she's going to come up to Kitty and be like, oh, you guys are so cute. And Kitty's like, I don't know what you're talking about. She's like, oh, I Instagram pictures of you guys. I hope you don't mind. Like, you know, you guys just are so adorable together. And all said and done here, Kitty's going to talk to Artie and say, you know, I do like you, but I don't think that this can be like a public relationship. You know, I think we got to kind of keep it on the down low. You know, I think that's probably the move here, which is going to obviously disappoint Artie. But that's just what she's looking for out of this relationship, Chappelle.
Yeah, the Bree before this, has Bree had a lot of storyline, or is she just the foil to Kitty?
This is the exact first episode, first time you ever see her.
Wow. Yeah, she shows up just kind of like, no. I almost felt like we should have already known who she was, because Kitty instantly recognizes that this is her nemesis. And Artie is so basic. He's sitting there like, oh, you took pictures of us and put them on Instagram? That's great. Kitty's like, yeah, no, she's a Stone Cold bitch, and I hate her. Yeah. Like, you don't know this dynamic. You go to school with these people. If there's a Quinn Fabray walking around here in the version of Kitty, you would know if she has like a rival that's been out to get her, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it just seems like Artie had never met this person, but we should have already known who she was. Other than that, I do find it interesting that Kitty she's down for the sneaky link. You know, she's like, hey, Artie, I like you, but you know, maybe just in the darkness when no one's paying attention or no one's watching because I have status. I thought it was very transparent of her to say that. You know, some people will try to keep you in the dark about that kind of thing, you know, and just be like, oh no, I can't make it, or I can't go, or let's just go someplace quiet. Or
don't post that picture. I don't look good in it. Just, you know, something.
But she point blank told him, hey, listen, you're about to graduate and you're going to leave me here, and I still got status. Like, I have to be the top of the pyramid, the queen bee, and you're going to cramp my style. And so if you're down with being the sneaky link, then so am I. And he was down. And to his credit, I would have been down too. Like, okay, fine. That's whatever. It's 2 months, you know. Like y'all said, this is not going anywhere. He's about to move away. So let's just have a good time while we can. I didn't hate it. I think he should love himself enough to know that he can be with somebody in public, yes. But with this circumstance, I'll allow it.
The two of them are going to go off and sing another song soon after. You got to hide your love away. So, you know, back-to-back episodes with, back-to-back songs between Artie and Kitty here. And, you know, Kitty's trying to be cute with him, trying to, like, leave him notes or whatever. And just, you know, still showing him that she does like him. She does care about him. She does want to be with him or whatever. But then you have that scene where she sees him in the hallway, but then she walks right past him to go hang out with Bree and the other Cheerios. And you're like, ooh, that stings. And that's when Tina walks up, and Tina's about to, you know, start meddling and getting involved. But we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, so we've kind of talked this one to death, but I don't know. It's this is the episode where we really cement these two as being a couple.
I think it would have been much more interesting if Bree were interested in Artie, because I find this storyline kind of played out. I feel like we've seen this kind of thing with Artie before already. How about Bree kind of be like, you know what? I actually am interested in Artie, so move out of the way, Kitty. That would have been an interesting thing to see.
I agree.
But, you know, make her really mean. She can still be mean, but just make her like, and then you can have Artie actually, you know, does he want to be with the mean girl that's really, really pretty, that's giving him a lot of attention? Or does he want to be with the other mean girl that's kind of like learned from her ways and isn't mean anymore? Like, And he could have like a whole cavalier attitude about it because he's about to leave anyway. So he's like, fuck it. Like, both of these girls want me. Let's see what happens. And then he has to learn not to be an asshole. That would have been interesting to me.
I like that. Artie the ladies man, where like he has them both on, like one on each shoulder, and he's just kind of like, you know, trying to decide like, which one of y'all should I give my time to? Like, who wants to ride in my wheelchair?
And so Kitty does like run it. Through all of his former girlfriends. She makes a list of them, you know, right at the top of the episode between them. She's like, yeah, Brittany and Tina and the other girl and the other girl and the other girl.
The girl with the huge rack with the wheelchair, I believe is what she said.
From the episode I'm on just watched.
Yep.
Oh.
Betty. Betty, big boo Betty.
anything to report on from there?
It is what it is. They met at the wedding, they fucked at the hotel, they got each other's digits, and we never see her again.
I'm jealous you got an episode with Quinn. We didn't.
Sorry about it.
We got Biggins and Schuster and Sue, and he got Quinn. I demand a recount.
Speaking of Sue, exactly where I was going to go. How did you know? Sue, we'll swing back around to Curtin Blaine because there's a lot to get to there. But Sue is back at McKinley. She had recently, at the end of season 4, been suspended or whatever it was. Yeah, she had a month-long suspension because of the whole gun incident, which obviously was not actually her thing. Becky was the one who did that. I said Bessie. I was going to say Becky fessed up, and then I said Bessie. Becky Jackson. Okay. She ended up telling, you know, the truth about what happened with the guns. So Sue is back now, and she has worked her magic. She has planted some incriminating evidence all around Figgins' office. Figgins has been fired from the role of being the principal, demoted to now being a janitor, and Sue is back here to make his life a living hell. It's fun.
So people are coming to the consensus that Glee just doesn't age well. And this is one of the things that kind of bothered me about this episode. I get that Sue wants to get rid of Figgins, which is fine. And planting incriminating things about him, that's right up her alley. But the things she was incriminating him with, like, oh, look, there was gay porn in his desk. And then there was foot gay porn in his desk, too. Like, so now we're kink shaming and all this other stuff involved as well.
How is it gay foot porn? Like, I just feel
gay
like...
Gay foot porn. Mm-hmm.
Like, are the foots, like, giving foot jobs to penises? Like, I just don't get it.
Like, I just thought, like, ma'am, regular porn would have sufficed. It would have equally got him fired.
Like, she's like, just, I mean, like, I guess if you're gay, you wouldn't want to look at women's feet. But I just feel like feet are so neutral. Like, how do you make it gay? Like, I just...
How do you know? Sue is certainly an equal opportunity offender. She will go after everybody and anybody. So, yeah, watching the show back, Chappelle, I mean, especially for somebody who's watching a couple episodes here and there, it's like very shocking when it happens. But I think I've become, which is so probably not the best thing, so numb to it at this point that it's like whatever Sue does and says, you just expect it and you're like, yeah, that's Sue.
Yeah, it's just the nature of the incriminating evidence to be. It's like, yeah, you found porn in the teacher's desk or the principal's desk, that's enough to fire him. But to go further, it'd be like, no, it was gay porn. Like, not gay. And then it's like, but it was gay feet too. Oh, like, oh, two man feet? You know, so that's what stood out to me. It wasn't so much that Sue was being Sue. It was just that, really? This is where we went? Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, and she's gonna continue that later on in the episode where she ends up like dumping a whole bucket of like expired meat all over the floor to just completely, you know, fuck with Figgins even more and make his life a living hell. And, you know, any chance that we get to hear, Sue Sylvester, you're a monster. Fun.
Yeah.
I don't mind being Sue Sylvester.
I don't mind seeing Figgins bullied, you know, like that doesn't bother me because I hate him. But, you know, it's Sue and I kind of hate her too. So, you know, I'm torn. But, you know, anytime to see that kind of moment happen and it's to Figgins or even to Will sometimes, I'm like, oh, I'll deal with it. As long as she's not pushing kids down the stairs, then I'm pretty much okay with Sue doing whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me hop all around here. Just kind of, we can probably kind of cover all the Sioux scenes here now at once. They didn't really tie into anything significant, but we also get a scene later of Roz Washington and Will Schuster in Sue's office because, you know, we're kind of, besides all of whatever else is happening here, we do have to kind of set up some season five storylines. So now that Sue is in charge, she's, you know, Will and Roz are both concerned that they're about to get fired because Sue hates them. But Sue's like, no, you guys need to win, you know, win for me so that I can, you know, make sure my spot here is permanent. She's obviously also got the superintendent like that just hired her and is like expecting great things from her, and she also is going to have a crush on him eventually. So that's all happening there. But this is probably the first time, Chappelle, that you're getting a chance to talk about NeNe Leakes here on Glee.
Yeah, I remember NeNe Leakes on Glee because I remember when they promoted it, they were getting the commercials and thinking, okay, I got to watch this episode because I have to see what crazy stuff that she says. And the only line that I really remember is that at some point, Sue Sylvester's pregnant and NeNe just comes out and says, your baby's going to come out a grown man with a monocle and a top hat or something like that, like an accountant or something. And that always stuck with me because that is hilarious. It's like, she says, I'm pregnant. And she says back to her, with whose vagina? I was like, that's a point. Points were made.
I don't know if Roz says that too, but definitely Santana says that.
Yeah, like, what did they?
No, Roz says it too. It's a running gag throughout the episode.
It's valid. It's valid. So
with whose vagina? Sue, you can't have no baby. You are as old as a hill. You ain't going to give birth to no child. You're going to give birth to a grandchild. You're going to get in them stirrups, and you're going to push and push, and a full-grown adult is going to pop out with a briefcase and a job talking on a cell phone. And by the way, I don't need to steal your job, Sue. Sylvester, you know why? Principal Figgins is going to give it to me. That's the full quote.
And scene.
And scene. Clap, 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 clap.
Yeah.
So that's what they're up to there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. So. I like NeNe Leakes. Was the overall reception of NeNe Leakes like good?
Very
from the
so.
Leakes?
Yes.
Yeah, people love Roz Washington. But we thought we were going to get so much more because at the end of season three, they talk about how they both want to get rid of Figgins, but then she's barely in season four. So
yeah. But then she's back here for season five and they get the job done. So Figgins is gone and now Roz is, you know, seemingly having job security because Sue wants to, you know, make sure she wins for her. So seems like they're all good for now. It just took a whole season to get there. Let's go back and talk about the main storyline of this episode. Kurt Hummel, Blaine Anderson. And I feel like this is very funny just given where Aman and I have been at with our fan fiction rereads or not even a reread. We're going through, you know, Sam and Blaine fan fiction where, spoiler alert for that, if you have not been keeping up with us on Aman's Twitch channel, that, Sam and Blaine are currently in the process of maybe having something get together between the two of them. Kurt and Blaine not doing so well, recently breaking up at the part of the story that we're up to. It's like a 16 chapter thing. We're about halfway through it so far. So it's very funny to go back to actual Glee, a real episode here, and see the two of them that are together, are actually about to get engaged. Kurt is still hanging around in Ohio after everything in season four at the end of there. So he has not gone back to New York yet. And him and Blaine are not together. They had a rocky season four and they have not officially called it, you know, to get back together here. But that's going to change. They're going to sing Got to Get You Into My Life, and they both share a kiss, and seems like we're all happy and back together, Chappelle.
Can Kurt old ass go home? Why is he at this school? Like, in the middle of the day?
Again. No, like two season premieres in a row. There they are again, in the damn quad, singing some damn song together. Like,
I like them. Everyone likes them. I get it. But Kurt, you're a grown ass man. Go home. You know, this doesn't have to be done in the middle of the school day. Also, does the marching band get paid to do these performances that you guys just kind of rope together? No. I feel like if I'm a random person at the school, maybe I'm on the chess club or something, I don't get to have these grand displays of affection from my loved one where I can just like break out into song and have the marching band and have them show up from New York and have just like and use the whole quad as if it's their own. These Glee kids have been extra, but to this point, now y'all grown and it's starting to get creepy. Go home.
Yep. That's how it happens. Kurt especially. I know that was definitely something that we had been questioning or pointing out around this time. It's like waiting for him to get back to New York. There's no reason for him to still be in Ohio whatsoever. But he hangs around and seemingly has nowhere better to be, even though he does go to school now and He does still work for Vogue, but now he's just hanging around with his ex-boyfriend, now turned, you know, boyfriend again. So they are back together. And now that they are back together, Shaggy Doo is going to head over to the choir room and make a special announcement that he and Kurt are official to get together again. Yay! But the top secret here is that he's about to ask Kurt to marry him. And I know you didn't watch the episode I'm on, but there was a Sam slap on the ass of Blaine Anderson there. And again, the fan fiction of it all.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
All that I can picture right now. So that happened. But yeah, he's announcing to everybody that he is planning to propose, and he is dressed like Shaggy.
He is kind of dressed like Shaggy in this episode, isn't he? The green top. I mean, fine, Blaine. I mean, you were dangling the ring in front of us at the end of the season 4 finale. I don't know why you just didn't do it right then and there. Like, why have the ring? Like, why bring the ring to school if you weren't going to do it as soon as you got to the school? But, okay, fine. I mean, it's just kind of hard to care about this wedding when it's opening up this season, when we closed with the season, or closed the season with a wedding the last time. And they just got back together. Like, they're not... Can y'all, like, breathe for a second? You haven't even graduated yet. And I hate to sound like the rest of the kids that are like, you're too young. Because sometimes, like, you know what? Fine. If you know that, you know. But can you at least wait until you graduate? Can you at least wait until you're both in the same city to make it happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Blaine tries to make it this whole cultural statement thing of, like, let's bring together all of the most competitive cutthroat show choirs that will all stand side by side to speak up for something important. Because, you know, Blaine, throughout this time of the show, is, like, putting himself at, like, the front of the gay rights movement to be like, me and Kurt getting married means that gay people can exist. It's like, no, that's not what we're doing. But I get what you're going for. And Artie's like, yeah, the message is cool, but, like, still, Blaine, relax. You guys just got back together. And I don't like the whole, like, too young excuse here, because Artie especially, like, did support Finn and Rachel when they were about to get engaged or get married or whatever. So I don't know why we're swinging back. I mean, maybe everybody was using them as the example as to, like, oh, this is why it's not going to work because of those two. But either way, so he's got this whole plan to you know, bring all the different show choirs together, sing some more Beatles, and make it happen.
And, like, what's going on in the country at the time, because, you know, gay marriage was such a big, I mean, it's been a big topic for many, many years. Like, I don't want to sound like Blaine does in the episode, being like, oh, we've been fighting. Shut the fuck up, bitch. You just got here. People have been fighting for gay marriage for much longer than you have even been alive. But yeah, we know it was a big hot button issue, and a mere year later, it's going to get legalized in all 50 states. So this was, you know, Lee's way of, you know, being like, we support gay marriage. Yay.
Yeah. Glee is one of those shows that has to take a stance and make it known on this topic for sure. Because for seasons, you've been saying, okay, this is a community we support, so we're going to support it, and we have to support these, you know, monumental moments in history. So I appreciate that. But I'm with Artie. Artie, he did support the Finchel engagement, and look at that. So... you know, maybe he's like, maybe y'all are too young this time. He's come around. Also, their engagement is going to be a lot harder than a Finchel engagement. You know, they're going to have to deal with the social aspect of this is a brand new, construct for the gay population, is being able to get married. And now there's going to be, you know, roadblocks. There's going to be churches that don't want to marry you, and, you know, cake makers that don't want to make cakes for you, and all kinds of stuff. So even though Artie probably isn't looking that far down the road, he's not wrong. This is a very big step to be taking as a high school senior after you've already cheated on your guy while he was in a different city. So points were made. I think they should probably reconsider, but we know that's not Glee's style. They're going to rush right into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you mentioned at the top of the show, we knew the clock was winding down here, so got to get the engagements and marriages and I don't know, anything else moving as fast as possible, just in case, you know, the shutdown of production or whatever it was happened sooner than they would have expected. So they got this moving. And yeah, Blaine gets everybody going. And this is where I started to, I think, have more fun with this episode than I did the first time around, maybe. Both performances, Help here and then at the end with All You Need Is Love. Both of them,
Help!
You know, for some reason.
I need somebody. Help!
I wish you did not do that into my eardrums. I wish that did not happen. Like, you got closer to the microphone than you ever have in your entire life just now.
Yeah, I'd, like, swallowed it. But, yeah.
You just swallowed the microphone to just moan help into my ears.
That's what the song sounds like to me.
No, the song sounded better, I assure you.
I'm gonna make sure to put this part in my, choir room fan fiction that I'm writing for my Twitch stream.
Everybody oh no, me. Not that! Not choir room fanfic. You already put us on black. I saw that tweet the other day, and I purposefully didn't like it. I purposefully didn't interact with it because I didn't want it catching any more eyes and views and interactions. Any
engagements? It's okay.
No engagement whatsoever. I was like, Amon, do you want to quote tweet this? I was like, nah, don't quote tweet it because more people are gonna see it.
I enjoyed this performance. I had a lot of fun. As Help. Ridiculous as it is, I swear to God, I'm gonna kick you off the call. I had a lot of fun with it. Okay, Chappelle, you talk. I'm not allowed.
Well, it was cool or whatever. You know, like I said, the Beatles isn't really my bag, but I do like this song. I thought it was pretty cool too to see the cutthroat show choirs kind of, you know, interacting in a healthy way. It's funny too because cutthroat show choir in and of itself sounds silly to me, but I have been in cutthroat like groups and organizations before that wouldn't seem so cutthroat on the surface level, right? When you're in something, it can be a lot more aggressive and gruesome than it actually is in real life. From the outside looking in, I was in the marching band when I was in college, and that's a whole other monster sometimes. And so I can see where the cutthroatness comes out, especially with the warblers. I mean, they assaulted someone, and you know, I think vocal adrenaline pretty much bullied Unique out of the group. Mm-hmm. And then of course the choir for the deaf, I believe they cheated. Didn't they steal the hierography performance too? So like
Jane Addams Academy for the something.
No, it was both of them.
No, yeah, I thought Jane Addams steal too. Yeah, they both stole it. Yeah, so these are the scummiest of the scum when it comes to like show
choirs.
Well,
it's been 3 years, right? They're all in image rehab right now. Like most,
yeah. And the New
Directions
aren't much better. I mean, the things that
that's what I'm saying. The four of them though. This is like. Yeah, this is like
the New Directions do. They didn't do anything.
They're always doing something.
Great. Yeah.
I mean, not in terms of Schuster.
Like the show choir competitions, though. They're always, you know, doing everything by the book, whereas all these other teams, you know, notably cheated. They didn't cheat.
Debatable. Anyway.
Debatable? When did they cheat?
I don't know. Okay, so they get everybody together. Jake is making a lot of friends. I don't know if anybody saw Jake out there, like, dancing with all the Vocal Adrenaline kids. I was like, he's about to transfer schools next year. He belongs in Vocal Adrenaline.
He should.
Is doing flips and tricks with everybody there. So maybe that's where he went. I mean, it's totally possible after he got transferred out of McKinley. So they get everybody all together. They are talking about, you know, we need your help, and that's what they're going to come do. Blaine's going to end up sending a text over to Rachel. And we don't get to find out what that text was, but, you know, you can presume that he's saying, like, can you guys come home? Like, I'm about to propose and I want you all there. But we see at the diner there that Rachel and Santana have bigger things on their hands because Rachel's director and co-star came by the diner for some lunch. Rachel comes over. She's like, I'll take this. I'll take care of this. So she comes over. She's like, yes, hi, it's me. Yes, this is awkward, but I don't care. You know, I'm professional. Even when people are calling me too young or too green, which for your information, I am not. And she comes to show them exactly what she's got, you know, besides just everything that she's been doing within the world of Funny Girl. Her and Santana get the whole diner going with a Hard Day's Night performance, which I think I picked as my favorite. I think both of us picked as our favorite song the first time through. But they get going with that. They have a lot of fun. And then, you know, Rachel's going to make them bounce right after so they can go back to Ohio. But they have some fun with this one, Chappelle.
Yeah, I liked it. I think to this point in the episode, I think this was my favorite performance for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, I like the performances they do in the diner. I have a couple, like an image in my head of a couple other performances that I don't remember vividly, but this made me want to go back and rewatch those because I think they pretty much show out in the diner every time. I also like that the diner performance, like performers, like the other waiters and stuff, you don't hardly have to like, you don't have to explain why this is such a great performance because all of these people are in the same boat. They're all, you know, potential Broadway stars in their own mm-hmm. right. All of them are doing the same thing that Rachel and Santana are doing. So this is kind of the group that you want if you're going to try to impress the casting agent or, you know, the person who's casting for, you know, the role of your lifetime. I don't like that we never got their reaction to it, though. She does this whole performance kind of impromptu to impress them, and then it just cuts away and we never get, they just run out, she gets the text from Blaine and then she just leaves, and I would have liked to see more of, you know, their deliberation or maybe them saying like, oh, that was pretty good, you know, or something. But they had bigger things to attend to, I guess, in the wedding proposal, and so they got out of there relatively quickly.
Yeah, Santana's like, where are we going? We just did that. And Rachel's like, we gotta go. I'll tell you on the way. Like, right. I mean, Santana was the one who, like, pulled her into work that first time that she got there. It was like, I think she's a little worried about getting in trouble with the boss.
She better hope that she lands this role, because she's definitely about to get fired. You can't just walk out in the middle of service.
But, I mean, she gets the job done here. The director and Paolo, we get, like, a final shot of them looking at her, and they're pretty impressed with what she's able to do. Which, yeah, the magic of Rachel Berry and Santana Lopez, it's a pretty powerful thing when done well, when done right.
She had to sing and dance for them in a little tiny skirt to get the role. What misogyny.
Is this before or after Paolo meets Santana?
I mean, we're lucky that I remember this man's name today, but
this technically is, like, you know, their first time seeing Santana. They don't really meet her, but they see her here.
Yeah. Right. Well, I just remember that the first time, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, my memory of him and her interaction was when she comes in and she sings Don't Rain on My Parade, right?
Yeah.
Is that him? Right.
Yeah, no, that's all later in the season. That's later in the season.
Okay.
Later from now, so.
So yeah, right. he sees her, but I don't think he doesn't know. She's just a random waitress at that time, you know?
Right.
Right. Yeah. Because when I know she comes in and she kind of blows him away with that. And I wonder if he ever put, you know, if he puts two and two together that, this, oh, no, I've seen this girl perform multiple times and she's really good. Mm-hmm. Rachel actually was kind of serving up her competition to her and didn't even know it, you know. I think this is very interesting. Because I couldn't remember chronologically how it happened. Did he already know her? Did he see her again? Or was this like the little introduction? He kind of caught an eye of her, but he was probably more focused on Rachel in this moment. I, however, was more focused on Santana, per usual.
Mm-hmm. As always. Yeah. Always on the same page with you on that end of things. We bounce back to McKinley, since Rachel and Santana are about to hop on the Magical Express to make their way back to Ohio as well. Back in the school, week one of the Beatles, Will says, has been epic. They've been doing a bunch of Beatles songs and everybody's enjoying it, or at least Will is. We're going to get a scene here between Kitty and Tina where Tina is going to call out Kitty for all of this, and we're going to kind of wrap up the secret relationship very quickly, as Kitty's going to be like, you know what? All right, fine. I love Artie. There it is. We're dating. That's true. Arthur and I, we are a happy couple. So thank you very much, Tina Cohen Agitator, for jumping into something that had nothing to do with you. But, you know, that's Tina. So, yeah, we're going to end this secrecy here, Chappelle. And I like how Blaine also jumps in. He's like, because Kitty goes off about how, like, you know, all the relationships that start in here, none of them end well, like, no, all bad things. And Blaine's like, well, Kurt and I are going to have a very happy ending, I'll have you know. It's like, shut up.
he hasn't even proposed yet.
Literally nobody asked you.
It's one of those things where he, you know, he knows that the fall of him and Kurt's relationship is probably just right on his head for cheating. Or, well, something that came out in this episode that I didn't notice before is that they were on a break, ? Because he seemed pretty adamant that he did not cheat and that he thought they were already over when he decided to run into the gorilla arms of Karofsky. So I thought that was interesting. And so now he has to convince everybody that, no, even though I cheated, you know, whether that's debatable or not, we're still going to last the test. Like, we are the one true love of the Glee Club. And yeah, nobody was talking to you. Let Kitty and Artie have their moment, Blaine. We're going to dedicate a whole bunch of episodes to you, and we're almost never going to talk about them again. So, you know, let them have their moment. Tina, sit down. Sit down. Why are you doing this? What are you going to gain from this?
Apparently she's doing it because she's lonely and turning into this mean, bitter person. And this is where it all starts to come together about how she's like, you know, life is just falling apart for her. She was like the only one in the Too Young to Be Bitter Club, eating all the different cakes there. So Blaine calls like a whole intervention to have the guy sing to her and then end up picking out, you know, a new prom date for her.
Yeah, they know that she's being very, very bitter. She's tired of being alone. She really hasn't had any action all season. She broke up with Mike Chang. She tried to get some action from Blaine. Blaine is gay. Blaine's now getting married. So now her whole agitation is now, you know, focused on Artie, a guy that she used to have. But now she can't even go back to him because now he is dating Kitty in secret. And so I think she kind of just wanted to, like, ruffle feathers here because she's pissed. And of course, it doesn't work out because then Kitty is forced to be like, yeah, we're dating. All right, now what? Go mess with somebody else. You want to go kiss Mr. Shu like Finn kissed Emma? Go ahead.
But this performance is growing on me every time I watch it. For the I mean, we recently rewatched this one for a podcast that is not yet out of talking about Glee quartets. I saw her standing there, but I don't know. I just every time I hear it, I think I like it more. I don't ever want to hear the Beatles cover. The Beatles version of it.
Oh my gosh.
The Beatles cover of the Glee song, but I like it.
Yep.
I like it. I thought it was an interesting choice of like the four people that Blaine gathered before I realized they were about to do a Beatles quartet on it, obviously. But when I first saw them in the room, I was like, when Blaine, Ryder, Sam, and Jake.
Jake, yeah.
Yeah, it just seems so weird. I guess it's because I haven't been watching to this point. So for me, I'm so used to Blaine and Sam, yes, you know, or even like, you know, the past people, you'd have Mike Chang dancing around somewhere. But this group, for Blaine to be like, okay, I've assembled the group that's going to get bitter Tina out of her loneliness and bitterness, and it's these four. Does she even know Jake?
Like, yeah, I mean, they all know each other well enough to this point, right? They've spent a whole season together, but no, I mean, it's also funny though, like when they get to the song and they're you know, and then afterwards they tell Tina like what this was all about. Blaine with his hair all over the place, like, always have to point that out. She is like looking around for who to pick, and Jake like makes some kind of comment like, yeah, you can pick any of the dates that are up on the stage here. And you cut to Marley, who's like, excuse me? And then he's like, yeah, obviously, except for me. And then she's like, oh, okay. I'm like, that's like the one Marley moment in the entire episode.
Yeah, and that's so silly to me, because the premise is we brought together these four men so that you can have your pick of the litter, but two of them are taken, because Blaine obviously is taken as well.
Well, they meant as like a prom date. He was single as far as a prom date goes. Kurt wasn't coming to prom with him.
Yeah. So Jake has his prom date already set, and Marley, mm-hmm. I guess Tina says that she's gonna go with Sam because he's the least gay and the least Asian.
Yes.
And to that point, I want to know, what's the scale that eliminated Ryder from?
Yeah, we were trying to figure it out too when we talked about it the first time. I was like, what was she referring to? Like, maybe
Ryder's
like
only a little bit.
I was gonna say maybe there's like a maybe like a bit of like a bromance between Jake and him, but like, no, like Jake and Ryder's bromance is not even as strong as Blam's. So if anything, I feel like Ryder's probably the least gay, because I think
it's just adding up the data at this point. Sam has dated how many girls in the Glee Club, and Ryder is new, so we don't know any concrete evidence for sure that he, you know, fully swings one way or another. So I guess Tina was,
I mean,
like,
he
I know
was
for
fully
sure
in love with a whole fake girl online. I think it's pretty safe to assume that the guy is into the other sex.
Yeah. I think my issue with the Sam pick is that we just watched this episode. This a second ago, this was Mercedes, the love of Mercedes' life. She's crying and singing, I will always love you, to Sam.
Still
and
is.
Tina, her friend is like, let me take you to prom. Why don't you go with the single guy who has not dated your friends? You know, why don't you pick that guy? And then I thought, maybe he's part Asian. Is there any part of Ryder that might be from Asia? Maybe he's equally as straight as Sam, but just lightly less Asian. No?
Maybe.
Who knows?
I don't know. I got nothing for you on that end.
I just want to know. That's all.
I got nothing for you. We can do a ancestry.com with Ardor. What's wrong with me today? What is wrong with me today? I just said Ardor, as if Artie and Ryder were one person. Okay. Anyway.
You shipped the fanfic is getting to you, because you shipped Tina and Kitty earlier, and I was like, Titty? No?
Yes, Titty.
It really is. my brain just naturally goes to like pairing up, you know, whatever couple name could exist for all these people, which is why Quinn and Puck, you know, can't be a thing, because what the hell are we having there? Quack. No.
Quack.
Pin. No. Quack. No. Just not happening.
Fuck.
I'm glad I talked about Quinn here.
Finn and Puck. Fuck.
So. She picks Sam. Yay, how exciting. We're going to go follow Kurt. He's going to head off to get to his engagement. Bert's going to pick him up and drive him over there, you know, with the disguise of, you know, oh, we're going to the airport. No, we're not. Kurt's not stupid. He knows what's happening here. And as the two of them talk in the car, we get, you know, one of the infamous scenes between these two gentleman, where Bert is going to try to, you know, talk Kurt, or just kind of see how he's doing, how he's feeling. Kurt explains that, you know, I know what's happening here. I just don't know how I feel about it. I don't know if we're ready for it yet. We just got back together. We're still pretty young. And Bert's like, yeah, no, I get that. And I totally don't disagree with you. You know, he was the one who said to Blaine, I don't think this is probably the best idea right now. But I guess Bert has either kind of been talked into it, or is just, you know, the advice that he gives to Kurt here of like, just go hear what he has to say. You know, worst that happens is you say no. Maybe you say maybe, you know, just see what happens, see what he has to say, because obviously Bert knows at this point that Blaine has prepared this entire elaborate like performance for him with a million people coming. So it's like, you know, if anybody had organized this kind of proposal for me, I probably would have wanted to accept it. So he's like, go ahead, just see how it goes. And as Kurt pulls up and the music begins and the marching band arrives, the unpaid marching band, Chappelle, Kurt sees Blaine and the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I like that they didn't. I like that Kurt was like really clued in on what was going on here, and I like that Bert sort of like took that as it was and was, you know, just fully leveled with him and told him all this stuff about, you know, his mom and how he'd wish that he had much more time. And sometimes you just know when you know. And really, isn't my opinion here. Like, you guys are, yeah, I mean, you guys are young, but like, I'm not gonna sit here and like tell you what to do. So, I mean, if this is what you guys want to do, then this is what you guys are gonna do. I really like that it wasn't like this whole drawn out thing, because we've seen this marriage storyline so many times already. It's just like, if you're gonna do it, then fucking do it then. Like, I don't want to spend like 5 episodes on this. Just do it. It's the Shia LaBeouf video. Just do it. Get it over with.
Love screaming into a microphone.
Oh my goodness, I'm too quiet, I'm too loud. Like, what is it gonna take to make you happy?
I don't know, a normal volume.
I'm adding this to the fan fiction as well. Keep it okay.
All You Need Is Love. Blaine Anderson is going to get everybody gathered around. Rachel, Santana, and Mercedes are all there and are all, you know, welcoming Kurt in to his big proposal. The Warblers are there. The Vocal Adrenaline Kids are there. The Havenport group is also there. And they all gather around. We got lots of hugs as Kurt passes by all of his friends and all the Glee kids. And he gets to the staircase where they first met. Blaine stops him, tells him, you know, tells everybody, this is right where we met. I took this man's hand. We ran down the hallway. And for those of you who know me, you know that I'm not in the habit of taking people's hands I've never met before, but I knew that my soul knew something that my body and mind didn't know yet. It knew that our hands were meant to hold each other fearlessly and forever, which is why it never felt like I'd been getting to know you. It felt like I was remembering you from something, as if every lifetime that you and I have ever lived, we've chosen to come back and find each other and fall in love all over again, over and over for all of eternity. And I just feel so lucky that I found you so soon in this lifetime, because all I want to do, all I've ever wanted to do, is spend my life loving you. So Kurt Hummel, my amazing friend, my one true love, will you marry me? Kurt is crying. Both of them bawling. Everyone's crying. Everyone's emotional. Rachel seemed to find a way to make the whole thing about herself. I don't know if everybody else noticed of like her walking Kurt, you know, down and standing in the frame here, standing in the frame there. I was like, of course, it's Rachel Berry. But he says yes.
She was just there to lead. She was just there to, you know, take him through everywhere so he knew where to go. She was like the point person.
The Rachel Berry defender has logged into the chat.
I'm just saying, like, you can't just push him through. Like, you have to have somebody to lead him through each room, or else he's just going to be standing there watching Vocal Adrenaline like do splits all day. Like, you needed somebody to.
And what's wrong with that?
To pull him through the rooms. And she's his closest friend, you know?
Is she, though?
I didn't think she was making it about herself. Not this time.
You didn't watch the episode.
But I know what you're talking about, though.
Chappelle.
I'm somewhere in the middle on this. She definitely was making herself known, but I think again she has identified that she is the maid of honor, you know,
right.
I have to step into this role right now. So although she did self-appoint herself the maid of honor, she was kind of in the frame a lot, you know, this, who else would have done it? Who else was supposed to lead Kurt through this moment? You know,
Mercedes, like, was right there.
Was she?
But they're not close.
I mean, right. Yeah, you know, like, let's be very clear. You know, him and Rachel are still in contact.
It's not like Mercedes wasn't present. Like, it, you know, Santana and Mercedes were right there the whole time. It was just that Rachel was the one that was pulling through.
Yeah.
That's just how I saw it.
Yeah. She's the maid of honor. That's her role.
Well, Everybody's all happy. Kurt's getting proposed to in front of all his closest friends and family and a bunch of strangers he doesn't know. Bert's there. Carol's not, but, you know, I don't know. We don't need to get too deep into, you know, where Carol is at the moment. So, we have a successful engagement. Everybody is very happy. And that is where the first half of this Beatles tribute closes off, of course. The next episode in the season is going to be also a Beatles tribute episode. And, you know, some more follow-up about the engagement and all of that good stuff. But we're only here to talk about this episode today. Chappelle, did we get everything that anything else from this episode that we missed?
Yeah, I think that we hit all the hot spots. This isn't the most eventful episode because, like you said, it's kind of the premiere. So it's setting up the things to come for season five. And, you know, the obvious Koryamanti thing that we need to address. So it touched on a lot of the characters and kind of reminded us that they were alive. But aside from that, no, I think we touched on everything. I really did like Blaine's proposal. I mean, gosh, he did that. Like that, not so much the production. Like I said, he's always been a little extra for me. But the actual words that he said to Kurt about loving each other through eternities and living another lifetime just to love each other again. Like that's dope. I could never have come up with something like that. So that was cool. Beautiful ending. I think it was a great episode. Not my favorite, but I think it accomplished what it was supposed to accomplish.
Yeah, let me dive right into Slushy ratings because just to wrap up my thoughts on the episode again, I did like it more than I did the first time. I'm going to drop it with one Slushy compared to last time where I had given it two. I don't know. I think I was a little too harsh on it last time, but also, you know, that was kind of in context of watching it directly after, you know, the season four finale going into season five. It's like, you know, a season premiere, you kind of want big things from it. But when you genuinely watch it, like just separated from all of that and think of it in the way that Amon, you and I did, of saying like it really is just episode 23 of season four, and kind of just ramping things up to, like, you know, whatever the next step is, essentially the end or the middle of season five there. It's just, I don't know. It's a big episode for Blaine and Kurt. The proposal kind of won me over a little bit more this time. Blaine got both of our gold stars last time, so, you know, no surprise there after all the work that he put in. But just, I don't know, like I said, I was able to have a little bit more fun with it. It's not, I don't think by any means it was a perfect episode, so I'm just going to kind of cut my Slushy in half and give it one. Chappelle, after watching this episode, what are you feeling?
I feel like I have to rank it against the other two Love episodes that we've watched so far, just because sure. I've been so far removed from my rewatch of Glee. So for me, I like I said, I don't think there was anything I would change in Silly Love Songs at all. I thought it was a great episode. And then I liked the second episode slightly less. I think I gave it half a Slushy, maybe, or one Slushy.
I think you gave it one.
Okay, well, I will increase the Slushy for this one by half. So if that was one, this is 1.5. I didn't dislike the episode, but I think as a standalone episode, it's not as funny as the last two. When it comes to love, it really doesn't get into it as much as the last two did. And song wise, again, it's the Beatles. I'm fine. So yeah, I think for me, of the three, it's the weakest one.
All right, Amon, you did not rewatch it, but you still remember it. And any of the discussion from today change your mind about your previous Slushy rating of a two? You feel better about it? You feel worse? You feel the same?
No, I think I probably maybe I'd even raise it a little bit.
Wow. I think if you were going to raise it, you might have to rewatch it. But, I mean, don't let me tell you how to live your life.
Well, I mean, like I said, like I'm very familiar with the episode. I know everything that happens in it. I think, if anything, that's why I'm probably more willing to raise it, is because I wasn't lulled back into, like, the glee of it all. I think I'm always the better grader here. So I think me not having to rewatch it probably helped me be a little bit more objective and just think about what we were introduced to story-wise. And if I'm going by that, I think I'm going to go ahead and say 2.5. Now, I understand that it's a hard task, right? Like, considering everything that happened, it was hard for them to figure out what to do. But I truly think that the season beginning really suffers from not just addressing what happened right off the bat, because there's an emptiness to this episode that just doesn't work for me. It makes no sense that Carol would not be there. It makes no sense that Finn would not be there. And the fact that there is no explanation for that, and we're just supposed to be like, oh, it's because of what happened in the real world, I get it. But narratively speaking, it makes no sense, which to me makes me think it was a bad choice to do this. I think you start the season off by addressing exactly what happened. You make episode three the season premiere. Of course, no one wants to start a season off with a somber beginning, but sometimes life happens that way, right? And I feel like introducing like these little somber little moments, especially the whole thing with Rachel, and that becomes a very vacuous storyline because that gets resolved one episode later. There was no point to that at all. The whole thing with Artie and Kitty, it's stupid. It really is stupid. It doesn't go anywhere. I just feel like there's nothing compelling about this episode other than the proposal and the conversation between Bert and Kurt. And that could have happened and had so much more weight given what happened in the real world if they'd done it after addressing that. Because then stakes are already raised at that point. But I think narratively they just wanted to make it, oh, glee, happy, fun, weddings, love. And obviously, you know, the audience isn't feeling that way. You know, the production isn't feeling that way. So go ahead and deal with your trauma and let's move on. But they didn't do that. They decided to have two Beatles episodes for whatever reason, completely dismissing characters that should be there. Quinn's not there. Brittany's not there. Makes no sense. It just doesn't make sense. Puck's not there. What's going on? It just doesn't make any sense. So for that reason, 2.5.
Well, if anybody did rewatch along with us, hopefully you enjoyed it. Even if you land on the Amon side of things here, but I enjoyed. Everybody was happy. Everybody was, you know, in good spirits, except for like Sue and Figgins for obvious reasons there. But Santana and Rachel were both doing pretty well working.
Oh, and
the diner,
also and that Sue Sylvester thing. They set something up that was actually pretty interesting. The fact that Sue calls them into Roz and Will into the office and it's like, oh yeah, so I'm gonna be the principal now, it's gonna be permanent sooner or later, and that means that I am gonna be the principal of a school of winners. You guys are both winners now. Like, I would have loved to see like a whole season of Sue like going to great lengths to making sure that the Glee Club and the Cheerios are like the best teams in the state, and like doing all of this outlandish shit, like still being Sue Sylvester, but this time she has more power and like she's like undermining both Will and Sue and getting Cheerios and Glee Club members on her side. Like, they set that whole thing up and then do nothing with it. It's just, I don't know. And then like Principal Figgins is relegated to just mopping up floors the entire time. That's not even funny after the first episode. I don't know. I'm just like, I love Glee, right? Like, I love the episode. I still probably would have had fun rewatching it, but in some ways I'm kind of glad that I did, because I just feel like it just wasn't a strong beginning. It just wasn't. But that's just me.
Okay, well, like I said, right, I'm done being negative. But I'm not going to keep talking about it because I keep reminding you of things that you hate about it. So we'll move on from there. Chappelle, what was your least favorite song of this episode?
So the more stuff that we did.
Yeah. Let's keep bashing the episode. No, I'm good with this. I didn't love Yesterday. It sounded great, but I mean, the beginning and it was so somber and it's forgettable. Yeah, I forgot that you'd done it. The can't drive my car. I mean, you can drive my car. That's pretty cool. I have thoughts about what is it? Got to get you out of my into my life. Was in that mm-hmm. song. So I have thoughts about that. Yeah, I think that no, the Kitty and Artie song in the hallway. Whatever they were singing.
You've got to hide your love away.
Yeah, I don't care about that song. I think Yesterday is a Beatles song that I like more, and Rachel sounds like Rachel, so she's always fun to listen to. I wasn't moved by Artie and Kitty's duet, so gotcha. That's my least one.
Okay, sounds good. Amon, what's your least favorite from this episode?
Yeah, I think I'd probably have to agree with Chappelle here. I think at least with the other ones, you know, there's something interesting going on there. It's a bit more lively, but this is, like I said, I don't really care for the storyline. So yeah, I agree.
You got all to right, hide three song for three away. For you've got to hide your song away here. the Artie and Kitty duet ends up as our least favorite song, which is, you know, there was competition. There was a couple different songs here in this episode that I thought I could have considered. I saw her standing there, might have otherwise been there, but like I said, I'm coming around on it. Yesterday, I agree with you, Chappelle, is one that is kind of forgettable, especially in the Rachel Berry catalog. It's like along the same lines of like Firework, the first episode that we rewatched. It's like, yeah, no, she sounds good, but, you know, it's not anything that stands out to me too much. And it was down to, you know, this one or the other Artie and Kitty song, Drive My Car. I think I like that one better. So three for three on You've Got to Hide Your Love Away. And we'll close this out, of course, by picking out some shoe stars. awarded to the worst person in the episode, in an episode that Will Schuster was in more than he was in the other ones. Chappelle, I know you were so worried about not having enough Will, and Sue as well. So plenty of options on the table this time if you want to kick us off here.
I know. We got the big three. We got Sue, Figgins, and Will. So I was like, ooh, who do I pick here? ooh, it's tough. Sue was very much on the warpath. She chose violence on this day. However, it was against Figgins, so I was like, Figgins was pretty much innocent on this episode, so I hate to give it to him. And what did Will do? Will didn't do anything.
Will just pretty much sat there and watched as all the kids left his rehearsal to go sing at random different schools. So he has no control over his kids. That's at something all. That is worthwhile.
Oh, no. To talk yeah, about. This is definitely going to Will. I can say Figgins didn't do anything wrong, and he was actually the brunt of all the punishment this episode. Sue was punishing Figgins, so I have to give her some credit for that because it's Figgins and he sucks. But Will didn't bring anything to the episode at all.
Will made the assignment be the Beatles and made us suffer through all of these Beatles songs
for 2 weeks. Will is the slushy. He gets the shoe star. He gets the slushy. He gets all that bad stuff because it's Will. He deserves. I know he didn't do anything outwardly evil, but it's always an air of evilness when you're dealing with Will. So he can take it. He's my shoe star of the week.
Well, that's only fitting given the award being named after him. It's his first shoe star since the first time we started giving out shoe stars back in the last time that you and us talked. Rocky Horror.
You see, I have a theme here. I hate us.
I'm going to give mine to Sue just because I did enjoy so much of the rest of the episode with a bunch of the other storylines. And, you know, I don't disagree with Amon or just what we've said in the past about the Artie Kitty storyline. Like, there's definitely a case to be made here for Kitty, but I don't know. She wins me over with some of the Arthur of it all. And by the end, when she comes around to, you know, admitting to everybody that her and Artie are together, and I don't know, also I don't know, just she didn't bother me as much in this episode as Sue bringing down the mood with both doing awful things to Figgins, which no, I don't mind that awful things are being done to Figgins is, you know, should have been fired years ago, but some of the tactics that she used, I was like, a little too far. Spilling the dirty expired meat everywhere, gross, and then stomping on it, walking down the hallway, gross. Like, just one of the only people in this episode that I wasn't, like, joyed to see some of the scenes play out. So I'm giving mine to Sue. And Amon, return to you for the final shoe star.
Tina Cohen agitator, because she was acting a whole ass this whole episode. Like, leave Kitty and Artie alone, even though I'm not really down for the Cardi of it all. I think it's stupid, but it's their stupid. So you leave them alone. Just because you're old and bitter doesn't mean that you have to go around and suck the joy out of everybody else's life. And the fact that they rewarded her, rewarded that behavior with three guys proposing to be her prom date, like, nah. I mean, I get the loneliness part of it, so I mean, I sympathize with her there, but I just think that she was acting so, like, horribly to Artie.
Yeah,
like,
just a bit.
Leave them alone.
Just a bit. Yeah, just a bit.
Her heart was in the right place, but it still came out like scum. Oh, I have a question for you two. Have you guys ever had, like, a secret romance that someone wanted to hide?
No.
Yes.
Ooh. Ooh. Scandalous.
Spicy. I like it.
Yep.
Was it
your idea
to hide it?
Any more details?
No, yeah, it wasn't my idea to hide it. No, it wasn't mine. It was theirs because they were with somebody else, and it was a love triangle, and I was the wrong
homewrecker, Amon.
Wow.
No. It wasn't no homewrecking. It was this person was going back and forth and wasn't, you know, being honest with. Well, he wasn't being honest fully and forthcoming, but also I feel like he was being honest with the other person more so than with me, and so. Yeah, it was bad. I didn't like that at all. So I guess it really wouldn't be called a romance. It was kind of just like, I've been, you know, hidden, I guess you can say, before, and it's not a really good feeling.
Yeah, Chappelle, they put you on the sideline. Yeah, no, I've definitely been the side guy. It wasn't like a romance. Like Amon was saying, it wasn't a romance. I knew my role. I was like... Well, whatever you get done over there, I'm here chilling. But I was a lot less emotionally attached, so I didn't have a huge issue with it. Looking back, would I have done it differently? Of course, I would have been
exactly.
I love myself, and you should love you more
exactly.
too.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I wasn't doing nothing at the time. I was bored, and I knew, like, I was
and you're young. You don't really have that much experience quite yet. That's why I'm glad that it happened, because, like, now I know as an adult, I'm like, I can recognize that kind of behavior from a mile away now. So I'm like, you know what, look, if you're not all in on me, then I'm not going to be all in on you. And that's just what it comes down to nowadays. It's just like, you know what, it's love me freely, love me proudly, or get the hell out of here.
Yep. Well, strong words.
So that's the, I guess, closing out here of our Valentine's Day series. Chappelle, we have had such a great time having you here, often as a mediator, often just as a fun person to talk to, as always.
I've enjoyed every second of it. This has been great. You guys are awesome. I'm so happy that y'all decided to include me on, obviously, my strongest topic, which is love.
Yes.
And yeah, anytime you guys want me to come back to talk about other stuff, I'm down. Like, this every time I talk to you guys about Glee, it always makes me go and look for memorable performances. And so I have a couple in my mind now that I have to go look at before the day is over or I'll forget. But yeah, I'm looking forward to what other specials that you guys do when you inevitably do the weddings. I'll be listening to that. But I had a great time, and I really appreciate y'all having me.
Well, we appreciate you being here. Always a treat to get to talk to you on a podcast, especially given how popular you are around these podcasting streets. And anytime you can snag up some of Chappelle's podcasting hours, it's always worthwhile. And, we know the audience was definitely enjoying these as well to have you here. So much appreciated on that end of things. Aman, we have a lot going on. We have not released everything that we've been recording lately, but we did just drop 5 episodes. We just recorded 4 more that are in the books, and we got plenty more to come.
Yep. We got some song rankings podcasts coming, which, yeah. Those will be coming soon. We've been reading Blam fan fiction, as we mentioned earlier, on my Twitch channel. It's just twitch.tv/AmonAdwin. We've got character studies that we've still yet to get to. So lots of cool things on the horizon for the choir room.
If you guys have not yet seen in your feeds, we recently released a bunch of a couple other character studies that we had been recording. So we had Kitty went up, talked about Kitty today. We had Unique went up, Ryder, and then 2 other podcasts. One that focused on also who we talked today, Principal Figgins, along with Becky Jackson, together in one podcast. And then one talking about some of the Matt Rutherfords of the Glee world, specifically Lauren and Sugar and Joe and Rory. So that's another one. So you have 5 new character studies in your feed to hold you over for a little bit while we continue recording some more. And then after we get the song rankings out to you, which, in due time, we have the home stretch, essentially, of character studies. We've got Santana and Brittany, Kurt and Blaine, Rachel and Finn, Sue and Will is pretty much all that we have left. So we are going to be going a little bit slower just because of real life things starting to pick back up, at least for me, as we record those. But you're getting this one here today and more certainly to come while you catch up on everything else that we've already put out. So hope you guys are enjoying it. Chappelle, I don't think we did plugs, but where can everybody find you on social media?
You can follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's _ show, Chappelle's_show. And look for me on a podcast near you. I think I'm recording an episode of Rob and Akiva Has a Need a Podcast this week to talk about this past week in pop culture. The best week ever is what we're calling it. And if you've been paying attention, that's debatable as well. but also, I will be guesting on the Shit 90 Show's Taught Me podcast with Jessica and Sarah, talking about Clueless on their 90s rom-com rewatches. And then coming up next week, I will be doing a Survivor, Heroes, Healers, and Hustlers rewatch podcast with Rob Cesternino and Jessica Lease. So I'll be very busy, but if you're in the greater Rob Has a Podcast network, you should hear from me soon.
We love to hear it. I just almost wrapped up my HHH rewatch and I'm still not having fun, but do it for the show, right? Do it for the experience. Hopefully you're having more fun since you actually have to podcast about it, but I'm not having much fun. Okay. So there's that. And Aman, where can they find us out there?
Can follow us at Choir Room Pod on Twitter and TikTok. Make sure that you're following us individually. I'm at Amon Adwin. Matt's at Matt Ligori. Leave us star ratings and reviews wherever you get your podcasts. We'll read them aloud on the show. As always, our PayPal account is open. If anybody wants to slide a couple coins up in that bitch, it's paypal.me/choirroompod. Yep. My birthday is coming up. Lucky number 27, hoes.
You know, I'm going to call you out on this because it's too funny not to, but I should have known that you were going to watch the wrong episode when you forgot your own birthday like 24 hours ago. Chappelle, you probably weren't watching him on Twitch stream last night, but he was talking, like, winding things down. He was in the chat. I was in the chat, and he was talking about, oh, maybe Matt and I will finish out the Glee fan fiction on Wednesday, and I was in the chat. So I was like, oh, sounds good. And he's like, oh, perfect, sounds good. And then one of his moderators, the great Mandy, who made all of our artwork, was like, I'm on, your birthday is Wednesday. And he's like, oh, my God, you're right.
Thank God for Mandy. What would we do without Mandy, honestly?
I agree.
Like,
yeah. I don't know what's more depressing.
Your birthday is what day?
On Wednesday. I don't know what's more depressing, the fact that, like, I'm reaching an age where, like, my birthday is being forgotten even by myself, or, like, the fact that someone else had to tell me.
It created a great moment on the stream, and here we had a great moment on the top of the episode. So what would we do without you, Amon Admin? So everybody, make sure you wish Amon a happy birthday on Wednesday. Yeah, the PayPal exists, so if you want to, you know, slide us both a couple of coins for just keeping the podcast windows or doors alive, whatever the expression is, and for Amon's birthday, whatever makes you happy. Thank you, Chappelle, again for being here. That's all we have for today. So until next time, Amon.
Until next time, guys, we will glee you.